Listen, folks, it's time that you and I as Christians step up, roll up our sleeves, and get the work. Listen to me. I promise you, Satan is working overtime. He knows his days are numbered. He knows his days are limited. And, folks, we got to get busy about God's work. Would you go with me in prayer? And I want to share a little something with you before we get into the message this morning. Our Father and our God, again, we welcome you into this place. God, we exalt you. We lift your name up on high. God, you are the one that is worthy to be praised. And God, I pray that when we come into church services, Lord, and we gather in your name, that God, we're gathering to sing praises about you. We're gathering to worship you. God, it's all about you. It's not about us. God, it's about serving you, worshiping you, and praising you. As Adam and the praise team and the musicians have already said this morning, God, it's about you. And what we do with you, that counts and that matters. God, I pray that you fill this place, as I've already prayed, with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God, that you would just begin to work in our hearts and work in our lives. That God, you would open up our ears, you would open up our eyes, you would open up our minds, and you would open up our hearts, God. That we would be receptive to receive your word. God, I pray for the anointing of the reading of your word this morning. God, your word is precious and your word is anointed. And God, I pray for a special anointing over the reading of your word as we open it up. God, that your anointing will be so strong on it, God, that you will defeat the devil, as we've already prayed, bind him up in the name of Jesus, rebuke him, and Satan's got to go. And God, any opposition, the Lord, I bind up in the name of Jesus and ask the Lord that you give us freedom of liberty to sing and preach and to read your word, God, without fear or favor of man. And God, you would be honored and glorified with your message today. The Lord, as you've laid it up on my heart, the state of apathy, the Lord, as I look across this country and I look to where we've been and I look what's going on in our homes and in Christians' lives across America, God, I'm afraid that we're in a state of apathy. But God, I pray that we change that state, and we can through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. We can through a heart that is dedicated to pray and read your word and attend services, God, when we need to be here. God, may you convict us where we need convicting today. God, may you pierce our heart where we need pierced. God, may you draw us closer to you under the spout where the glory comes out today. God, may you revive us. May you refresh us. May you renew us, the Lord, and excite us to be about your business and about your work. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. When I thought about this message of apathy, I thought about yesterday. I had the privilege in the men's prayer breakfast to talk to the men, and there were about 20-some men in there, and I was able to talk to them about a predator. Folks, we have a predator. The predator is real, and his name is Satan, my friends, and he's walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I'm telling you, he's working triple time, quadruple time, whatever you want to call it, in these last days, because he knows his days are numbered. Satan's days are numbered, folks, and he is real, and the enemy is real. In Ephesians chapter 6, when I thought about that in just a few verses, this is just an intro, so hold on until I get to the message. Amen. This is just an intro, but when I thought about Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. My friend, he is a predator. A predator is real. What does a predator do? Seek out to devour somebody. Seek out to set a trap, to set trickery, to set schemes, to lure in a prey so the predator can pounce on them. And my friend, that's exactly what Satan wants to do in your life and my life. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. That predator, my friend, is alive and well. And that's what he wants to do. In verse 12 it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My friend, if you can't understand the spiritual wickedness that we got going on in high places, my friend, something's wrong. Something's wrong, my friend. There is nothing done in high places that I see that's of God anymore. My friend, and this country needs to get back to the Word of God, needs to get back to the foundation of what it was established for in the Constitution and Amendments. It says, we the people, who's ever up there, needs to be for we the people. people. Amen. And it's time that we, the people, speak up and send a message to the White House that we're not happy with what's going on there, my friend. And thank the Lord there is one that's standing up. We need to pray for him. I get in trouble when I mention politicians' names. But we need to pray for him, and you know who he is. Maybe some of y'all shout him out. What's his name? Woo, amen, you got it. Be praying for that feller as he's there and he's standing up for the constitutions and the amendments for you and me. Oh, when I think about that, I think about, my friend, there's a way that we can combat the enemy. There's a way that we can combat apathy, and we're going to get into apathy in a minute. There's a way to combat it, my friend. It's in the scripture, and it's found in Revelation 12:11. In Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. Number one, how can you overcome the predators in your life? How can you overcome the enemy? How can you overcome those things? We are overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. Through Jesus, my friend, we are overcomers through him. Not only that, but by the word of their testimony, my friend. The word of your testimony, you can overcome it. And not that, by loving the Lord. They love not their lives unto death. That means being faithful for as long as we shall live. Being faithful to the call of God in your life and serving him, my friends, and living a life that is pleasing to him, we can overcome those things. My friend, when I look across the world today, and I look across the country today, I look in every churches around here, the church in the communities, in the state, in the city, and across the world, my friend, I'm afraid that we, our Christians, have got to a state of apathy. Who cares? Who cares? Well, I can tell you, there's one that cares, and his name is Jesus. There's one that cares, and his name is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. And my friend, it's time for you and I to roll up our sleeves. It's time. We got work to do for the Lord, my friends. It's time for us to get busy. As I said, Satan is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He's a predator, and he's real. And my friend, he's been at work for a long time. And my friend, he's trying to destroy the church as the church is known today. And we as Christians have just sat by and let it happen. Oh, listen to me. I pray today that you will do spiritual inventory. I pray today that you will look at your own life, my friend, as we read these words and we read this message and see, are we living in a state of apathy as individuals, as a church, as the world? My friend, I pray that God speaks today. In Malachi chapter 1 and verses 1 through 14, go with there with me and read. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. It says, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob and hated Esau and laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of the wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. My friends, I wonder sometimes if that's not where America is. I wonder sometimes if God's not sitting there and drawing a border around us and say, that's a country of wickedness. That's a country of evil. My friend, they've turned their back on me. And he said in verse 5, and your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. The son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, ye shall say, wherein have we despised thy name? You have offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that they say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And I pray, my friend, that we're not to that point of contempt and being contemptible, but I'm afraid of apathy, my friend, is in the church houses today and churches across America. I pray when this message is over today that we won't be living in a state of apathy, that we have to decide who we're going to serve. My friend, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We're going to serve Him. It said in verse 8, and if you offer a blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer a lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. What are you offering the Lord today? What are you offering the Lord today? Are you offering God the second best? Are you offering Him a blind sacrifice? He says it is evil. Are you offering Him a lame and sick sacrifice? He says it is evil. Won't you offer it to the governor and see if he's pleased with it? My friend, we need to ask ourselves today, are we offering God the best? Are we giving God the best that He deserves? Because listen to me, God gave you and me the best He ever had. In His Son Jesus, my friend, He gave to us, He gave His only begotten Son, the best that you and I ever had. He gave. What about you? What about me? Are we giving God the best that we have to offer today? Amen or oh me? Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. Ask yourself that question. Are you giving God the best, my friend? And you know in your spirit and heart whether you're giving Him the best or not. And I pray if not, by the end of the service, you will give Him your best. Amen? God deserves nothing less. He said in the end of verse 9, and now I pray you, beseech God that He will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will He regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. My friend, that's powerful words right there. Amen. That's a powerful message. That's a powerful verse right there that we can camp out on all day long, my friends. It's something to ask yourself today. To ask yourself, where is there among you? Would it shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. I pray, my friends, that that's not where America's got to. I pray that that's not where Christian brothers and sisters have got to. I pray that that's not where the church is today in this county, this church, and across America, my friends. But I'm afraid we offer God the second best far too much. I'm afraid we offer Him far too much the second best, my friend. And He says He has no pleasure in that. He has no pleasure in that. And He won't accept that, my friend. Why? Because He gave, as I said, you and me the best that He had to offer. Can't we give Him the best back, my friends? He deserves that, our best, when we give it to Him. Oh, listen. He deserves the best that we have to offer. In verse 11, He says, from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down, the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. He wants a pure offering, my friends. He's great. A pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But you have profaned it, in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what weariness is it? And you have snuffed at it, and saith the Lord of hosts, and ye have brought that which was torn, and lame, and sick, and thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this out of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in the flock a male, and vowed to sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Oh, listen to me, my friends. As I said, I fear today. I fear for a long time. My friends, we have been in a state of apathy, a state of who cares? What matters? Who cares if all the seats in the house are full? Who cares if our brothers and sisters come to church or not? Who cares if that person out there that's never stepped a foot in the church door dies and goes to hell? Who cares? My friend, I can tell you who cares. His name is Jesus. That's who cares. And my friend, you and I as the children of God need to get under that burden and be caring about what the Lord will have us to do, what He desires us to do in our life. My friend, maybe that revival can break out here in this congregation, break out in the city, the county, county, the community, the state, and worldwide. It can start, my friend. If 12 disciples in the book of Acts can turn a city upside down, you and I can turn it upside down if we get busy about doing God's work. Amen. Oh, me. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Oh, you're getting awful quiet around here. Oh, listen to me, my friends. We need to get busy about the Word of God. We need to get busy about serving Him. We need to get busy about being faithful to Him. My friend, He's gave us the best, my friend, and He expects nothing less than the best from you and me. Oh, when you look back in His Word, if you're taking notes and look at verse 6 with me, number 1 is the greatest reverence. Our God, my friend, our God desires the greatest reverence we have. They will reverence and glorify the name of God from the west to the east, for He will come like a flood tide, driving Jehovah's breath. Amen. Oh, Lord, come and breathe upon us. Bring the tides of water in here. Breathe Jehovah's breath upon your people, my friends, across the world, and we won't have a problem. The greatest reverence, my friend, God desires the greatest reverence that you and I can give. Amen. He desires that from you and me today. When you look at back at verse 6, He says, a son honoreth his father, a servant his master. He said, if then I be a father, where is my honor? He said, if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? That original Hebrew in the word honor. Honor means, thank you, brother. Honor means literally to be heavy. Honor means to be heavy. So when you honor someone, it means to treat them as a heavyweight in your life. My friend, to honor. He says, a son honoreth his father, a servant his master. And it's talking about, Lord, if I be a father, where is my honor? My friend, I honor in the Hebrew. Definition of that means heavy. Means heavy. My friend, when we look at those scriptures, we should see God as a heavyweight. My friend, when I thought about the Lord, I thought about the old song that goes back years ago about the champion of love in this arena of the good and the evil. My friend, you stand as a champion today. The champion of love is God, my friend, and He wants to change the state of apathy in your life, in my life, in the life of Christians across the world, my friend. He wants to change. My friend, He deserves honor. Are you willing to give Him honor and reverence due to the Lord today? Are you willing to give Him the honor that He is due? Are you willing to allow the Lord to be the heavyweight in your life, my friend? He wants to be your heavyweight. He wants to be that one that is of significance and importance in your life. It's someone of extreme importance. It's someone of great significance. It's someone who is huge. When God said in His Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother, He's not just saying obey them and respect them, but He's saying treat them truly as they're a significant part of your life. My friend, when it says honor the Lord, we should treat God as someone truly significant in your life and my life. That doesn't want your second best. He doesn't want the lame ducks. He doesn't want the sick goats. He don't want the sick things brought to the altar. He wants the best that you have to give to Him, my friends. Oh, listen. Will you obey Him? Respect Him? Oh, listen, truly significant He wants to be in your life. God says, I am a father. He says, I am a master. He says, I expect honor. I expect reverence. Don't treat me with contempt, He said. Listen, God wants a heartfelt attitude of honor and respect towards Him, my friend. When we come into a place of worship in our own lives and in our own homes or wherever it is that we gather and assemble together to worship Him, God wants the best that you have brought to Him, my friend, to honor Him. An attitude that recognizes He is and how gracious He has been to us. Listen, people may come to worship service for many superficial reasons, but there's only one reason that is acceptable in worship, and that is coming to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory that is due His name. Oh, listen to me, my friend. We need to come into that place of praise and honor and worship in Him. That's good stuff. And giving God the best that he has to give us. Just like my brother gave me the best right here to wet my whistle. Whoo! Glory. Oh, listen to me. God deserves our greatest reverence. God deserves our best. Are you giving God your greatest reverence today? Are you giving God the best? That's a question for you and for God. And my friend, if you ask it, God will reveal it and he'll let you know. Are you giving God your best today? Are you giving God what he deserves? Are you giving him your best? Not only that, but number two, God deserves our best response. God reserves our best response. That means, are you going to respond to the word of God that you hear today? Amen, oh me. Amen. Are we going to respond? He said, preacher, done hooked me up. You right, I did. Amen. I baited you. Ah, oh, are you going to respond to the word of God today? Are you going to respond to the state of apathy? Are you going to respond to the excitement, the motivation, the enthusiasm that God wants to give you in your life, folks? He wants to give you life. He wants to give you an abundant life, my friend. But he expects something out of you and me as well. Are you going to give him your best? Oh, our best response. Look back at verse 7 and 8. He says, you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And verse 8, he said, and if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen to me, these priests, my friend, were accepting not just the second best, but they were accepting the worst and most tainted sacrifices that people could offer. My friend, and God says, I have no pleasure in that. God says, I don't want that. The Bible presents three standards of sacrifice. Give God the best. Amen. Amen. Give God first. Amen. Amen. And give God what costs you. My friend, serving the Lord and being a child of God and being a Christian, it costs, my friends. It costs you something. It costs you a little bit of time. It costs you a little bit of studying. It costs you a little bit of prayer. It costs you a little bit of faithfulness in your tending. It costs something to live the Christian life, my friends. It costs us something. Are you willing to give? Giving should be sacrificial. Listen, David wanted to offer a sacrifice to God. He was willing to buy this man's threshing hole. This man come back and said, here, I give you an oxen and I give you some wood. And David said, no, I don't want your oxen. No, I don't want your wood. I want to buy your threshing hole. I want to buy your oxen. I want to buy your wood. I'm not going to give God something that doesn't cost me. I'm going to give God what costs me. He said in 2 Samuel 24:24 is where you will find that. He said, and the king said unto Arunah, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer a burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which doeth cost. What happened, congregation? Only 20 of you said it. I'm not going to offer you something, Lord God. I'm not going to give you burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which that doeth cost me nothing. So David brought that threshing floor, the oxen, for 50 shekels of silver. My friend, listen to me. God wants the best from you and me, and in order to get the best from you and me, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you willingly to give up your time for the Lord. It's going to cost you willingly to give up your talent for the Lord. It's going to cost you willingly to serve the Lord. It's going to cost you willingly to give an offering to the Lord. It's going to cost you financially to give to the Lord. It's going to cost you something to serve the Lord. But listen to me. When you do it, God will bless you over and over again. When you give, my friend, he will pour out his blessings and the windows of heaven will open up on you. Oh, listen, try him and see what he'll do in your life. I promise you, he's not like trying some cheap perfume. Amen. You try him and he'll last for all eternity. He won't wear off in an hour or two. Amen. Oh, listen, put him on, try him out. Folks, it's time to roll up our sleeves and get busy about the Lord's work. Amen. It's time to roll up our sleeves. It's time that the Christians across this country roll up their sleeves and get the work for the Lord. We've been in a state of apathy far too long, and we gave the devil a foothold in this country. My friend, it's time we put him back in his place, and it's time we put God back in his place. Amen? It's time we go to work for him. Oh, listen to me. Give him your treasures, your talents, your gifts for the Lord. Find a place to serve. Worship God enthusiastically. Notice what God says in verse 9 and 10. He said, "And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. He says, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand." God says, shut the temple doors. It's better not to come to church. It's better not to pretend to be spiritual than to bring me nothing less than the best. Amen. Amen. Oh, me.
Amen.
Oh, me. Listen to me, my friends. We need to give God the best. He deserves the best, and he wants the best for your life. He gave the best for your life in his son, Jesus. If we will accept him, make him Lord of our Savior, he wants to give you an abundant life. I told you in John 10:10, it says, "The thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." My friend, God wants to give you an abundant life. Will you tap into the source? His name is Jesus. It's time to roll up the sleeves and let's get busy about the Lord's work. God's business, if Mr. Kent was here, he would say is what?
Serious
business. God's business is serious business, my friend, and we've sat down and let the devil take over, my friend, everything that's worth having. And it's time we put him back in his place. It's time we rise up from the state of apathy we're in and claim the victory in Jesus again. Amen. Oh, we got work to do. Let's get busy. Not only that, but number three, God deserves our highest regard. God deserves our highest regard. Inspiring, my friend, for God in the heart of a child. God deserves our highest regard for him. My friend, we need to give God the best. When you look, the quality of one's worship is in direct proportions of the one concept of God. The higher our view of God, the better our worship of God. The higher we allow God to take place in our life, the better our worship and service for him will be. The more we allow God to have full control of our life, the better off we'll be when it comes serving the Lord. My friend, but we sit here and we wonder, man, okay, when is the preacher going to quit preaching? Man, what time it is? Oh, my lands, it's 5 minutes to 12. Oh, my goodness, at 12 o'clock, it's a natural sin for the pastor to go over that. Well, I'm just telling you, I'm going to go over that today, so I'm going to sin when it comes to the time. Because time don't matter to me. Amen. Oh, when's the music going to get done? Man, what are we singing four songs for nowadays? Good gracious, we used to sing three and then we could get out of here at 12, maybe. But now we're singing four and there's no way we're going to get out of here. Because we're singing two hymnal songs. And we're singing two praise and worship songs. And I think it's amazing blended service. Amen. Oh, it's appealing to everybody. Appealing to the young, appealing to the old, and the pastor get both legs going up here. Amen. I think I got a little Elvis in me. Lord help. No dancing in the Baptist church. That's another sin. Oh, listen to me. Sometimes if we break loose sometimes and be a little free in the spirit, God might bless the Baptist churches a little bit more. Amen. Oh, listen. It's time we worship him. He deserves our highest regard, my friends. He deserves the best that we have to offer. Oh, listen. Look at verse 11 and what he says. He says, "For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place," amen, Mark, say it again. "In every place incense shall be offered unto my name." A what? A pure offering. What does that mean? The best you got to give. Amen. "My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." And then look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, "But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in the flocks a male, and voweth as sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." My friends, what is that saying? God desires the best.
Amen.
My question to you still stands. Are you giving God your best? Are you giving God your best when it comes to reading His Word? Oh, preacher, did you have to go there? Amen. Are you giving God the best when it comes to prayer? Oh, preacher, did you have to go there? Amen. Are you giving God the best when the offering plate comes by? Oh, preacher, you didn't go there. Are you giving in the best or are you putting in your nickel? We got a $600,000 debt on this building and it don't get paid by a nickel. Amen. Are you giving God your best when it comes to attending church? When it comes to being faithful on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday? Oh, don't say that, preacher. Are you giving God the best? I'll look out there right now. Some of y'all doing this. Some of y'all looking like, Brad, will you please open the door? I want out of here. Some of y'all, when I get the invitation, y'all can't wait to break camp and hit the door. Amen, oh me. Guys, y'all see me walk down like this, and here y'all go. Y'all don't even give the Holy Spirit time to work in your life. You're trying to break camp. Oh, listen to me, folks. It's real. A state of apathy. Amen or oh me. What are we in? Oh, listen to me. God deserves our best. Amen. Not only that, but God deserves our warmest response. God deserves. Will we respond to God's love best when we share it? My friend, are you giving God the best? Are you sharing it? Amen. Are you sharing it? Ask yourself, are you sharing it? Oh, listen, verse 13. He says, you said also, behold, what weariness is it? And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn and lame and sick. And thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord of hosts? He says, you brought a cheap sacrifice. What did you bring the Lord this morning? What have you brought the Lord in your life? Are you bringing God your best? You bringing God your second best, your third best, or your last best? What are you bringing God? What are you bringing God? What did you bring Him? What have you been bringing Him in your life? I pray for churches across America, this church in the United States and the worldwide, my friend, that we bring God the best. He says, you brought me cheap sacrifices, blemished animals, lambs covered with running sores, blinded lambs, lambs that are no respectable for a shoekeeper wouldn't even accept them. Their sacrifices cost them nothing. What are you sacrificing for the Lord? What have you gave to Him lately? Have you gave something that cost? Have you gave your time, your talent, your treasure? What are you giving to the Lord? Your service, your servanthood, witnessing, telling somebody about Jesus? It's going to cost you something. My friend, are you willing to roll up your sleeve and get to work for the Lord? Amen. Are we willing to roll up our sleeves? Oh, they gave as little time as they could. They did their duty and nothing more. Their worship became ritualistic, humdrum, mechanical, and familiar. Does that sound like churches across America today? Oh, listen to me. Would that describe our worship today? Amen. Oh, listen to me. Do you come to church and say, as I said, how long is this going to last? How long is it going to last? Do we have to sing so much? Why is the preaching so long? Folks, it's up to us what kind of worship we bring. It's up to you what kind of worship you bring. If you come to bring worship of a pure heart and be involved in the service, you won't even worry about the time. You won't even look at the watch. You won't even worry about the time and what's going on because you're here to serve the Lord. Amen. Here to worship Him. Worship is about giving God our heart and the best we have to offer. The last thing, will you look with me? The grandest result. Hey, guess what? It's 12 o'clock anyhow. I'm not doing too bad. Y'all thought y'all would be an hour more. The last thing, the grandest result. I didn't say that last one wouldn't last 30 minutes. Amen. Yeah, I get y'all. See there? Y'all thought something. The grandest results. The ultimate reward of success in life is to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. My friend, what can the Lord say about your service today? What can the Lord say about our life? A state of apathy and who cares? What can the Lord say? Oh, look, listen to me. When our focus is on God and worship, we honor Him, giving Him our best, exalting His great name, and offering Him our warmest worship, and our lives will be changed. Look at verse 9 with me in Malachi. Look at verse 9 with me. He said, "And now I pray you." We've been talking about prayer for the last 2 months and preaching on it. He said, "Now I pray you, beseech God." That's what I pray this morning. It's you will seek out to God. You will seek God and ask God, am I giving Him my best? Ask God, am I giving Him my all? Am I being the servant that God's called me to be? Am I witnessing as God tells me to do? Am I giving like God wants me to give? Am I faithful in attending like God wants me to attend? You ask yourself that. And my friend, if you're real, when you ask God that, He'll answer. And He will reveal and He will show you. Beseech God that He will be gracious unto us, and that He has been by your means, will you regard a person, saith the Lord of hosts. When we experience true worship, folks, we experience and receive pardon for our sins. When we experience true worship, God convicts us, and my friend, we get ourselves right with Him. We engage power for weakness when we serve the Lord, and we engage in Him, we give Him all that we have. My friend, He exchanges that weakness of you and me and gives us power. He gives us power when we truly worship Him. We experience peace for our anxiety, my friends. That's the Savior I serve. Amen. You have anxiety today. It's the things that have worked you up. My friend, God wants to give you peace for that anxiety. Oh, listen to me. I'd rather have that any day than anxiety. What about you? Oh, listen to me. God to give you a renewed purpose for the days that lie ahead. My friend, you need a new purpose and a new direction in life. Seek the Lord. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Worship provides stability when life's up and down. My friend, you ever experienced life's ups and downs? Oh, listen, true worship will give you stability. True worship will give you stability. If you leave the church, my friends, worship can give you true stability. If you leave the church and your faith is stronger, your hope is brighter, your love is deeper, your sympathies are broadened, your heart is purer, and your will more resolute to do the will of God, then you've truly worshiped the Lord. Amen. What about it today? What about it today? Are you giving God your greatest? Are you giving God your greatest reverence? Are you giving God the best that He desires? What about it today? It's only something that you can answer. My friend, as I started off with a little intro this morning, we have a predator. We have a predator. His name is Satan. And my friends, he is real. As I said, he's walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. My friend, he is at work because, as I said, he is working quadruple time, overtime, triple time. Why? Because, Brother James, he knows his days are short. He knows his days are limited. He knows his days are short. My friend, what are we doing for the Lord? What we do for the Lord is what counts. What we do for the Lord is what matters. Ask yourself, are you giving God your best today? Are you giving God your best today? Are you giving Him credit where credit is due? Oh, my friend, are you giving Him the best that you have when it comes to reading His Word? Are you giving Him the best that you have when it comes to prayer? Are you giving Him the best that you have when it comes to giving? Are you giving Him the best that you have when it comes to serving? Are you giving Him the best that you have when it comes to witnessing? Are you giving Him the best that you have when it comes to faithfully attending the house of the Lord when the doors are open? Ask yourself, are you giving the best? And if you come before the Lord with a pure heart and ask Him that, He will reveal those things to you in life. Folks, my fear is we've gone into a state of apathy. Who cares, Brother James, if I come to church or not? Who cares if I witness or not? Who cares if I give or not? Who cares if I attend or not? Who cares if I'm a witness or not? Who cares if I bring my family here or not? Who cares if the doors are open in this church or not? Who cares?
Jesus cares.
Jesus cares. More than that, I care as well. That's the reason I'm preaching this message on apathy. Because I care as well. My friend, I pray you'll have respect and reverence for the Lord. You'll have respect and reverence for others. This time is one of the most important times we come to. And it's one of the times that I see most people doing this right here. Before we have a chance to even sing. Head out the door, man. I'm not going to give the Holy Spirit time to work in my life. I'm not going to go up that altar and pray. I'm going to see if I can get the Corky Bells before the Methodists do. Out the door you go. Who did I just take this Bible from? That's what we do, folks. Won't even give God time enough to work in our life. Will you be still today? Will you open up your heart today? Will you ask your question today, am I giving God the best I have to offer?